following program is brought to you by Total Theater Online. The views expressed do not necessarily represent those of the staff or management of WGBB. You're listening to the station that serves your community, 1240 WGBB. And now it's time for Dave's Gone By with David Lefkowitz.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Dave's Gone By, a radio program of comedy, music, talk radio, information, and exfoliation. The most important thing you can do for the next 90 minutes of your life is to keep your radio dial right here at AM 1240 WGBB. No other activity should take precedence over listening to this program from now until 8 o'clock. Well, unless you have to take a really, really wicked pee. In that case, okay, break for 2 minutes, go to the bathroom, or if you're in a car, grab a Snapple bottle or a handy ice bucket and let fly. And then come right back, because the 89 minutes remaining after that pee-pee break are going to be the best of your entire lives. Actually, it would be 88 minutes, because I've already spent about a minute talking. And then there's a half a minute of the opening theme music, Captain Beefheart's Tropical Hot Dog Night. So really, if you count the music and these remarks and the pee, it's 86 and a half minutes, but what minutes they are. What a wondrous program we are bringing you. I just thought of something. If you turn the radio up loud enough, you can probably hear it in your bathroom. That means, even if you're peeing, you can still be listening to this radio show, which is fantastic, but it totally messes up the math. So, let's see. In that case, you wouldn't be missing those 2 minutes, or 2.5 minutes if you're female, or 3 minutes if you're laying down a number two. No, you won't be missing anything. You will hear all 90 minutes, all 90 minutos magníficos of this show, not counting the opening theme, and the 90 seconds I've spent talking to you right now setting all this up, and the minute or two of commercial time that the radio station gets at the end of the show to leave time for transition to the next program at 8 o'clock. So that's like 85, 86 minutes rather than 90. Not trying to be a Poindexter here, but I believe in truth and exactitude. Not that there's any real truth or exactitude in the universe, but we can kind of agree upon a certain standard, set weights and measures and constructs of time just to help us get through the day. My sense of the color green may not be your sense of the color green, but my 60 seconds is your 60 seconds, unless you're on drugs. Or unless you're one of those people with a premature aging disease, so you live 10 minutes for every 1 minute of mine. You know, those 10-year-olds who look like Jimmy Durante? Not when Jimmy Durante was 10 years old, when they're 10 years old. I'm sure when Jimmy Durante was 10 years old, he looked like a 10-year-old. Big nose and everything. But he wasn't a geriatric. And his 60 seconds was exactly a minute long. And his hour and a half was exactly 90 minutes long. Just as ours is. Minus the opening remarks, and the commercials, and the da 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 da. Well, you get the idea. But time is important, ladies and gentlemen. Bob Dylan once said, time is an ocean, but it ends at the shore, which really makes no sense and has absolutely no bearing on this discussion. But he also said, time is a jet plane. It moves too fast, which is extremely germane, nearly as germane as Michael Jackson's brother, Tego, who could not be germane because, of course, Germany lost the war. But we're all fighting a war against time, aren't we? The ticking of the clock, the spilling of the sand, the whizzing of the digital numbers. And speaking of whizzing, did you have that pee yet? Were you able to listen to the show while you were making A Mellow Yellow? I hope so, because that's great. That's an ideal usage of time, doing two unconnected things at once, each complementing the other. It's like that father in Cheaper by the Dozen, the one who tries to do 10 things at once, conserving his time and labor for other things, so he'd simultaneously cook an omelet, talk business on the phone, calculate his taxes, and learn French, figuring he'd get back all that time he saved when he's in his 70s and could enjoy it. Only he gets a heart attack and dies when he's like 50, probably from trying to do 10 things at once. But you can do 2 things at once, quite naturally. Walk and chew gum at the same time. Read the newspaper and watch TV. Drink and drive, each making the other experience more enjoyable. And you can pee and be with me simultaneously. Just listening to this program on the radio alone is, of course, its own reward. But how much better to do so when you're busy relieving pressure on your bladder? No comparison. And having a tinkle can offer tremendous relief, unless you have a prostate thing or a uterine tumor or something, but whizzing in silence is kind of boring. So stand there or sit there, holy-dolly-do, nothing to do, except watch the stream, answer the doorbell, big whoop. How much better to do so while listening to a radio program that sparks your interest and tickles your funny bone? Both mind and body are engaged in a pleasurable activity at the same time. And if you happen to be eating a snack while you are having a wee-wee or a woo-woo, well, then all the senses are brought into play. Sight, sound, smell, touching the food, and the handle. So if you haven't gone to the toilet yet, there's still time. Still time to relieve that aching bladder while listening to the sound of my voice. So go. Stop at the kitchen, grab a sandwich or something light like a devil dog, and then go do your business so you can come back and listen to the remaining 84 minutes of this program. 83, 84, depending on how fast I talk. 83 and a half minutes of smart talk, silly talk, special talk, and music. And it's like this every week on Monday night, 6:30 to 8 p.m. on WGBB AM 1240 and on the internet at am1240wgbb.com. Yes, you can listen on the internet. Sometimes the sound quality is not so great, kind of hollow and echoey. Sometimes I get two signals going at the same time, so you might hear an entirely different radio program in the background coming from an entirely different radio station. If that's happening and making it impossible to listen, please let the station know. Either contact WGBB directly or email me at davesgoneby@aol.com. Or if you can't log on at all, if the Windows Media Player won't allow another stream, not to be confused with the stream of pee you are now making or have made or perhaps are about to make. No, I'm referring to the audio stream of WGBB's website, am1240wgbb.com. You'll see a link there that says, click to experience WGBB's live internet broadcasts. Do that and check us out online. Just in case your radio signal is weak or staticky, you can listen to the whole show live on the internet. All 82 minutes of it. All of them hosted by me, Dave Lefkowitz, radio personality, humorist, theater critic, and journalist. And this is my show. Dave's Gone By on the air since October 1 year ago. And you may ask yourselves, go ahead, ask yourselves. I'll wait. You may ask yourselves, hey, here it is, Columbus Day. I can tell because of the sales at the mall. I turn on the radio to hear my favorite program. Instead, I get this idiot talking about pee. Why is this man, this Dave, this hypnotic radio god, so fixated on the splash factor? Well, my friends, I'll tell you. I have not forsaken Christopher Columbus. I have not neglected the holidaysical element of this program. In fact, later on, I'll be doing a full tribute featuring my special guest, a rabbi who can prove, beyond the shadow of a dreidel, that Christopher Columbus was Jewish. That's been the speculation for a long time, but the rabbi says he's put all the pieces together, and the man textbooks say discovered the new world may have come from the Jew world. So stick around for that, and a little extra Columbus history lesson from Stan Freeberg, and my rant about Arnold Schwarzenegger becoming California's governator. But again, I hear you ask. Well, go ahead, ask. What does any of this have to do with toilet bowls? Nothing. Except that in the same way, Columbus took a piece of land that people had used primitively for years and years, and he made it exotic and exciting and more accessible. Well, my friends, now some people have gone and done that with the lowly John. Now the use of toilet bowls with drainage systems actually goes back to ancient Egypt and India, and over the years improvements were made in both the design and removal of the discharge. Indoor water closets, chamber pots, and cesspools were in full use by the 16th century, and then a bunch of inventors helped shape the bowl we know today. And by the way, let's explode a myth. Thomas Crapper did not invent the toilet. He came along in the 1800s, more than 100 years after a guy named J.F. Brondell invented the first valve-type flush toilet. Thomas Crapper was a minor player in the history of these things. He was a plumber who did come up with a half-dozen important patents in the development of waste removal. and he had the most famous plumbing shop in London. So when World War I doughboys came through England, they'd see his name printed on the sides of toilet tanks, hence the development of the nickname Crapper. But again, Thomas Crapper was no big poop. J.F. Brondell, Alexander Cummings, Joseph Prizer, in the 1700s, they were all much more involved in the development of the commode we know and love. And things have been refined over the years, especially design elements and comfort issues. But it isn't until now that we've seen an idea in toilets, a new concept in toitydom. Now, I don't know if you've seen the commercials turning up on TV, but a company called Toto has designed something called a washlet. It's a poop hatch, basically, that combines the best elements. So my engineer is looking at me a little oddly. Combines the best elements, so they say, of a standard bowl and a bidet, so that when you go, you not only do your business, but a lot of business gets done for you, including a jet stream of water that shoots up. They have a deodorizer that poofs out and neutralizes the stink. I know, Joe's just like shaking in there. I am not kidding about this. You may have seen the commercials. If not, go to www.washlet.com. W-A-S-H-L-E-T, washlet.com. Look for the smiling blonde holding a roll of toilet paper on the left-hand side of the homepage. And you'll see information on all the different types of washlet bowls. And last I looked, they even had video footage of these fellas in action. Nobody actually using them, just the bowls themselves. But not a joke, folks. This is a real company, and apparently they've installed thousands of these in Japan. And the best part, the exciting part, is that on this program, no, I'm not going to use one live on the air. For the price of one of these babies, I could almost buy this radio station. But I will be talking to the washlet woman, Lenora Campos, spokesperson for the Toto Company and their washlet. So if you want to hear all about the new splash in toilet technology, definitely stay tuned because the washlet is on its way. And I should mention I'm going to take this seriously. This is not an advertisement or an infomercial. No one's paying me or giving me a free demonstration model for my home, office, or beach cabana. Now, I'm just curious, as I think we all should be, as to how mankind has managed, after all these years, to turn the old-fashioned can into a newfangled must. So we've got toilets, Columbus, music, madness, and of course, the weekly news gone by on this episode of Dave's Gone By. You're really in for a treat. So stay with us for the next 76 minutes on WGBB AM 1240 and live streaming on AM 1240 WGBB.com. And I'll give my usual disclaimer. If you have kids, some of the content and language might be a little on the iffy side. That's why we're rated DGB-13, the Dave's Gone By equivalent of PG-13. But hey, if your kid loves toilets, what child doesn't? Let him listen. We just might bowl him over. Yes, I'm flushed with excitement on this Columbus Day, and our 75-minute voyage begins just 60 seconds from now! Performing Arts Insider, three words that represent a whole world of entertainment found on Broadway, off-Broadway, cabaret. Hundreds of productions to see and enjoy. But how can you keep them all straight? Performing Arts Insider, the guide to everything that's happening on the stages of New York. For six decades, Performing Arts Insider has been a bible of the industry. Each issue lists hundreds of shows, who wrote them, what they're about, who's in the cast, the designers, the producers, box office info, parental guides, reviews of what's good, what's bad, and why. Plus, listings for opera, dance, and awards, too. As the chief editor of Backstage put it, Performing Arts Insider puts all the facts at your fingertips. To subscribe or get a sample issue, call 516-295-1511 or go to www.totaltheater.com and click on Performing Arts Insider. Welcome back to Dave's Gone By, a segment I like to call Dave Goes Off. Off on a topic, off on a tangent, off on a rant. It's the closest this show gets to typical talk radio, but sometimes that's exactly what's called for. So this week, of course, the topic is Arnold Schwarzenegger, who beat out a midget, a smut publisher, and a porn star to become governor of California. We'll give Schwarzenegger credit. In the last 2 weeks of campaigning, The Democrats and the media threw every possible smear at him, that he was groping girls, that he spent the 1970s doing booze and drugs and wild parties, and that, being the son of a Nazi, he had kind of a soft spot for Hitler. Well, there's some truth in all of this, but at the same time, it was a cheap trick by the Democrats. They couldn't beat Arnold's popularity, or his money, or the electorate's disaffection with current Governor Gray Davis. So they took the low road. So low, they did what Republicans usually do, focus on trumped-up moral issues that have nothing to do with the candidate's ability to do his job. They couldn't force Bill Clinton out of office, but the impeachment hearings hamstrung his presidency for 2 years. Now the Democrats tried the same tactic, and voters saw through it. Instead of legitimately hammering Schwarzenegger for being a Teutonic jock with no political experience, they tried to nail him for things he said and did back in the days when Liza Minnelli and Truman Capote shook their tail feathers to Casey and the Sunshine Band. And if young Arnold bought into the Leni Riefenstahl myth of Hitler as a public speaking icon, well, take any 2004 presidential candidate, including Joe Lieberman, and I'll bet they'd give their eye teeth to fill a stadium when they give a speech. So don't get angry at the voters on this one, folks. Get angry at a Democratic Party that used the wrong tactics and at a Republican Party that subverted the status quo and used any means possible to change it their way. Now, if the Dems were smart, they'd start getting a recall going for President Bush. Well, on second thought, it's so late in the game, they might as well take their chances with the next election instead. But, hey, if every president, governor, and senator were subject to a referendum halfway through his term, kind of like they do in Israel with no confidence votes, people might not feel so apathetic about the process. Then again, it would also turn the democratic process into one long, non-stop campaign. Kind of is already, but this would be worse. Election, re-election, post-election. You can see where a recall vote for any other reason besides gross incompetence, criminal activity, or grave illness might become problematic. Now, one thing that angered me about media coverage of the whole California circus was that the media became willing accomplices in making it a circus. Lo and behold, the Republicans found a judge who backed the recall and let it go through quickly and surprisingly efficiently, chads and all. And what were the TV people and the radio people and the political cartoonists all picking on? The fact that there were so many candidates on the recall ballot. It became a joke that all you needed was $3,500 and 65 legitimate signatures, and you could run for governor. Why is that a joke? Should only Kennedys, Rockefellers, and Bushes be true candidates because they're rich and famous enough to be taken seriously? 150 people in California presumed that they were just as entitled to run for political office as the Terminator. They dared believe that politics is open to all people equally. And yet, the media laughed. They called the recall a fiasco, not because it destabilized a time-tested political process, but because it was crowded. Personally, I'm surprised 1,000 people didn't take a shot. Kind of disappointed. But the media seemed to want the criteria to be harder. It was too cheap to run for office. It should cost $10,000 or $100,000 to get on the ballot. Now that sounds kind of class-based to me. I thought the whole point of America is that a poor boy with two nickels in his pocket and holes in his shoes could grow up to be president. Maybe that's still true, but now he has to become a multimillionaire entrepreneur first. Now, to a great extent, it's what people most respect in Arnold Schwarzenegger. He came to this country barely speaking the language. Barely speaking any language, actually. He let himself be mocked and admired, kind of like Richard Simmons on steroids, and just when he became the most famous bodybuilder in the world, became one of the most famous movie stars in the world. There are a lot of better actors, but few better businessmen. And he did it himself. He remade his whole image. Half the time he played a villain, and people still swarm to his charisma. It's the Bill Gates mystique, a nobody with nothing but ideas and drive, built and sustained an empire. So yes, Arnold Schwarzenegger had a clear field because he had instant notoriety and enough money to buy California, let alone votes. But ideally, he shouldn't have had to spend a dime just to register. Him and Gary Coleman and Arianna Huffington when she was running, it should have been a dollar. Not $3,500, a dollar. And let's make it tougher, 100 signatures to get in the race. That part shouldn't be about money. And as I said, it bugs me that the TV news and talk shows made fun of the ballots. All that hoopla about too many people running for the same job. Well, excuse me, but wasn't it just 3 years ago that we all went to the polls, looked at the tiny metal levers, and what did we see? George Bush here, Al Gore there, and Lyndon LaRouche. That was it. Wouldn't it be nice if there were, say, 10 other names on there? Some of them with a real chance, from a real party. I forgot Ralph Nader. I wish I could forget Ralph Nader. His spiel that we're all living in a two-party system that operates like a one-party system, because both parties are beholden to the same oil companies, the same corporate monoliths, the same media conglomerates. Sure, there are small differences between the Republican and Democratic parties, but Nader said, overall, they're basically the same. Well, Ralphie Boy was kind of wrong, as the Bush years have shown. And Nader's candidacy not only helped our non-elected president get elected, but killed the Reform Party altogether, thus setting back the cause of political party reform many, many years. But when I'd see newscasters flipping through the California voting booklet, barely suppressing a giggle, all I could think was, why not? You can't tell me that of the 130-something people running in California, all of them were crackpots. Maybe 40%, but still. Seriously, I'll bet you a couple dozen of those people had more political experience than Schwarzenegger, had more to say than Gary Coleman, had a broader coalition than Gallagher or Larry Flynt. And if the papers had paid attention, instead of lumping them all together like a ball of stale rice, well, maybe it wouldn't have been Arnold versus the Democrats, but Arnold or Pete or Luella or Marie or Roberto against Davis and Bustamante. When residents of Nassau County go to the polls to vote for judges, there's usually 24 names there, out of which you pick about 10. Well, if thousands of Long Islanders are willing to do that for judges, why wouldn't we do it for governors or presidents? Why not have 100 candidates at first track not the best one or two, but the best 15 or 20 that have the best chances, and treat them all with the same respect and legitimacy? I know the FCC ruled that entertainment programs like Howard Stern and Jay Leno also qualify as news programs, so that they could interview Arnold Schwarzenegger and not have to interview all the other candidates to give them equal time. I understand the practical need for this, but this, too, added to Arnold's campaign juggernaut. After all, here's a candidate with all the money in the world for advertising and publicity, and he was the only one. Besides Gary Coleman, to a far less extent, he was the only one granted millions of dollars in free publicity. Smear campaign aside, Arnold on Leno, Arnold on Entertainment Tonight, Arnold on all the news programs, free positive publicity, while everyone else on the ballot gets sniggered at for daring to throw their hats in the ring. So what's my take on all this? Well, as you can tell, I'm kind of a deer in headlights of confusion. I resent Schwarzenegger for winning because he obviously had an unfair advantage, not just from his own money, but from the media endlessly throwing the red carpet down for him. I resent the Democrats and segments of the media who tried to smear Schwarzenegger with old news out of his past, stuff that was readily available for years, but magically leaked 5 days before the election. I resent the Republicans for creating a short-term political solution that's only bound to cause more problems in the years ahead. I kind of resent Gray Davis for not stepping down for the good of his party. And I resent the media for turning a potential circus into a full-blown sideshow. But you know what? This country has lived through two Nixon administrations, two Bush administrations, and a Carter administration. Student riots, Vietnam, a civil war, the assassination of Lincoln, William Henry Harrison's pneumonia, and political terms for Ronald Reagan, Jesse Ventura, Sonny Bono, and the guy who played Gopher on Love Boat. We got through them, we'll get through this. And just think, when that big 8.0 earthquake finally hits the West Coast, Arnold Schwarzenegger is probably the only politician who can use his sheer strength to hold the tectonic plates together and keep them from shaking. Think about that, America. I'll be back. A little urine town on AM 1240 WGBB Freeport and AM 1240 WGBB.com. And now, this. Welcome back to Dave's Gone By. And I've got a very special guest on the phone with a very special product to talk about. And I know we don't normally do this kind of thing, but I figured for our show it was appropriate and fun and interesting. So on the phone with us, all the way from, well, New York City, we have Lenora Campos, who works for an organization or a company called Toto, and they make something called a washlet. Now, you may have seen the commercials on TV for these over the past week or so. That's what brought them to my attention. I put on the TV, and suddenly there was this ad campaign for this item, and I was like, oh my goodness, this is really cool. So I ran to the website, which is www.washlet.com, W-A-S-H-L-E-T, and saw all about it. But I want to give you guys here on the radio your own little taste of, taste perhaps not being the proper word, but I'll let Lenora talk about it. Lenora, first of all, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Delighted. Thank you, Dave.
Thank you. Tell us about this amazing and wonderful washlet.
The washlet is a warm water washing unit that washes the undercarriage of the user after using the restroom. And for listeners to provide them with a cultural or conceptual hook, it's useful to think about the bidet. However, at that point, we really need to part company because Toto has brought the bidet into the 21st century. And so what we have done is taken that concept and embedded it into an actual toilet seat. What happens during the cycle is that a wand washes itself, extends, delivers warm, aerated water for both front or back wash. There's also a pulsating or oscillating function. During the washing cycle, the user has complete control. That is, he or she may program the water temperature, the water pressure, the water direction, and enjoy that function as it cleans that area completely. Mm-hmm. Once that cycle is completed, there is a warm drying function that dries the individual completely, so that it is not necessary to use traditional toilet paper, which is savings for environmental resources.
True. But again, the difference then between that and the bidet is the fact that it's all in one system. It isn't like using the bathroom and then the bidet, it's inside?
Yes.
Because quite honestly, I've never used a bidet. I'm not really familiar with them.
Right. The U.S. is a country without a history with the bidet. So it is a concept with which Americans are not necessarily completely familiar. However, most mm-hmm. cultures use water to wash. And we, of course, use water for every other washing function. And oddly, as a kind of cultural conundrum, we use dry paper for this very crucial point.
So this is a more gentle and a more... Is it more clean, though? I mean, most of the time? I mean, does it really do the job? I don't know how else to put
Absolutely.
This, really. You know, it does, yeah.
Yes, it is a complete, you know, complete cycle. And as I say, the user has control, can program or configure the experience to his or her needs and desires. And it does completely clean the unit, the area, with very comfortable, soothing, warm water.
What?
Which is you know, it's once one transcends the kind of unfamiliarity, it makes perfect sense.
How long does the process take?
Well, that again is up to the user. It can be, you know, the user configures it to however long he or she wishes, short or long.
Well, right, because I mean, I assume, let's say in the morning, someone's running off to work and may not want to go through the length of time to have this happen, or is it just like half a minute?
A minute, yeah. It can be programmed for shorter cycles or longer, depending on what... I mean, this is the beautiful part of it, Dave, is that the individual is in complete control. So if you're in a hurry and you want a quick cycle, you can program it to do that. You can stop the cycle at any point. It's operated... The unit is operated by remote control, and so, you know, you may stop it at any point.
Now, I'm curious, there's not just one... Well, there's one brand, it's the Togo brand, but you have like four different models, including the Jasmine, which is the top of the line, and the Washlet 6, C100.
Right.
The difference being?
In their functionality, so that the being the top of the line, the Jasmine or S300, as it's known, contains all of the features. In other words, it has a rear cleanse, front cleanse, oscillating massage function, pulsating, water heating, water pressure control, water temperature control, position adjustment. It also contains an air purifier, which uses activated oxygen to break down the molecules of odor. That means that instead of piling odor on top of odor, as people do using spray deodorizers in the room,
mm-hmm.
the activated oxygen breaks down the molecules of odor and returns cleaned air to the room.
Who came up with this idea? Was it a Japanese company?
It is, yes.
What made them conceive of this? Do you know?
This is a something that is, you know, very logical and warmly adopted in Japan. As a matter of fact, Toto has over 60% of the market share in Japan, and has globally we've sold over 20 million units
of these kinds of.
Absolutely.
What can you actually? They're not bidets. They're not. Are they toilets? Is that what?
It is all-in-one unit that is the seat itself, so that it can be retrofitted onto any existing plumbing fixture.
Now, we should say these are not cheap, per se. I mean, I don't know how much a normal, old-fashioned American toilet is, but these things run somewhere up to like $5,000. Am I correct in that, or they're cheaper
than
that?
We have a model, our new flagship product for this year, which is the NeoRest, which is the first aware product, meaning that it interacts with the user. So when you enter the room, the lid of the toilet rises. It is operated by sensor control. So it also has a dual flush water conservation function, which
flushes
liquid waste at 1.2 gallons and solid waste at 1.6 gallons. The NeoRest also has the washlet unit integrated into the fixture itself. But our washlets, they are a separate product line that is meant to adhere to or be installed upon an existing toilet fixture.
Yeah, I noticed there's also a portable one.
Absolutely,
and
that's
that,
right.
You bring it like on camping trip.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
And I guess the procedure is sort of the same. You just fit that over a regular bowl or a regular seat. You have to take off the old seat, or
no. Using it just with a traditional whatever toilet fixture is available in the hotel or hostel or wherever you happen to be. But back to your question about price, it's really a question of a lifestyle furniture or a lifestyle element. This is a unit that will save you water, power, money on toilet paper and other accoutrements for the bathroom. So it's really something that is very reasonable when you consider what kinds of benefits and features it delivers.
The one thing that I did want to mention or ask about is I saw a documentary about this, I guess it was a couple of years ago, not about the washlet or the Togo line, but there were scientists/manufacturers trying to design a better toilet. And one of the things that they were going through had nothing to do with the bidet element, but they were changing the tilt and the arrangement of the seat so that people wouldn't have to like sit on a 45 or I guess a 90 degree angle. That they could, it was more of a tilt. And when I had a hernia a couple of years ago, I discovered that that would have been a very, very good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Are you guys at all involved in that, sort of way of changing the actual position that the human is in when utilizing?
Well, the wash, you're referring to the physiology of, and that the seat being seated is not anatomically the most appropriate position because of the musculature of the abdomen.
Right.
Our NeoRest and most of our toilet line have very low profiles. In other words, they are lower to the ground. So that has some relevance to that point. However, changing the absolute direction of the position is not part of the NeoRest at this point, or washlet,
right,
which retrofits onto existing functions.
Right.
Existing
that, by the way, do you own one?
Yes, I do. Absolutely.
So, and everyone at the company, and you guys are located, your office is on Mercer Street.
Right. We are located in Mercer Street in New York, but our headquarters is in Morrow, Georgia. We have nationwide distribution and offices across the country.
So, but as you said, you are an owner, per se, a user.
Yes, I am.
And you can recommend it from,
yes, I can,
from your,
yes,
own
I
usage.
Can. And I would have to say from personal experience that once one uses the washlet, you just won't go back. It's a cultural leap forward.
Hmm. Okay. And do you know if they're working or doing R&D on the next level? If there's another, like, past the Jasmine, something else? Or are they going for lines that are also more portable? Do you know what's on the next,
well,
next year?
Well, the next generation of this product is the NeoRest, which I was discussing just a few minutes ago. And what the NeoRest is, and the washlet functions themselves, the washlet seats themselves, are really an example of computer technology moving into the bath space. Computers are such a large part of our lives, it only makes sense that we harness the power of technology to improve the comfort, health, and hygiene of the bath experience.
Cool. Well, says on the website that Togo is the largest toilet manufacturer in the world.
That's
more
correct.
Than 7 million annually?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes,
wow.
We're a global company.
That's cool. So, again, how can people find out for themselves whether the washlet is for them?
We have, as you mentioned, the website is washlet.com. Also, there's a pointing unit, an internet pointer, which is washletoffer.com.
What do you mean by pointer? Is it a nozzle?
I'm sorry, a link.
Oh, yeah, cool, okay.
And also the 800 number that you mentioned.
I don't think I said it. Could you say it? The 800 number, because I don't have it in front of me.
Okay. It is 800.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. I guess you're looking for it, too.
350.
Mm-hmm.
8686.
350-8686.
Extension 381.
Extension 381. To find out more about the Toto Washlet and NeoSit?
NeoRest.
NeoRest, excuse me. Sorry
right.
about that.
Also, we maintain a dealer locator on our website. So if listeners would visit our website, which is our main website, it is totousa.com. on the menu, there's a link entitled Support. And if they click that link, they will come upon a dealer locator. If they put in their zip code, they will be given a list of Total authorized dealers in their immediate area.
Cool. Sounds good. Well, I want to thank you so much for taking a few minutes and telling us about this product.
Thank you, Dave. It's very exciting. We're very excited with the growing popularity of the washlet.
Great, great. Have a great day.
Thanks
so much. Bye-bye. And now, ladies and gentlemen, for your entertainment, pleasure, and education, a musical interlude. Another seat, another bowl, another log comes out my hole. It's really pleasing when I'm a-squeezing and making poopies. I pull my shorts below my rump. I read the sports and take a dump. It's brown and shiny, straight from the hiney that's making poopies. Sometimes I sit for ages, waiting so patiently. Though my intestine rages, nuggets are all I see. I eat some bran and have some juice. Run to the can and shake it loose. I wipe my tushy when it gets mushy from making poopies. My little rectum, it does the job, be it a hot dog or just a blob. It's such a passion to feel the splashing of making poopies. I grip my teeth and hug my gut while underneath I hear a splut. It always happens with all my crappings and making poopies. One day my gut got swollen. I chalked it up to gas. But when I touched my colon, blood shot out of my ass. Now I feel woe, and it's a drag, 'cause now I go inside a bag. I miss the odors of all the floaters when making poopies. So listen here, I recommend that once a year, check your rear end. Just find a docto to do a procto. He'll stick a finger of your gazinga. You'll scream and yelp, but it may help in making poopies.
Congratulations!
Shalom, shalom, uracha, everyone! I am Rabbi Saul Solomon, leader of Temple Sons of Bitches in Great Neck, New York, and I want to wish all of you a very fruitful and fulfilling holiday time. I'm sorry I couldn't be with you for Rosh Hashanah or Yom Kippur. I had something of a transportation difficulty. I was visiting another temple in Baltimore, giving my holiday spiel to a gang of Reconstructionists. It went great, but the night I was supposed to come home, Hurricane Isabel hit the coast, and that was it for 3 days. By the time I got back to Amtrak, my half-price bus ticket was expired, and those bastards wouldn't honor it. This despite 2 consecutive hours of shouting on my part. I finally convinced them that I had to be back at my temple for services, so they let me ride in the dining car. Still, those bastards piously put me near the sausages and ham croissants. I don't care if they're in little plastic baggies, it's still too close for comfort. So, I missed the 2 big fall holidays, the New Year and Yom Kippur. Did you have an easy fast? Did you have a fast fast or a slow fast? I hope you didn't have a slim fast. Naughty, naughty. Oh, a beautiful 10-year-old Orthodox boy came up to me at shul at the end of Yom Kippur. I said, "Are you observing the holiday?" He said, "Rebbe, I haven't had a bite since yesterday." So I bit him. Ba-dum-dum! That joke went over so much better before the priests ruined it. But I hope you are having a sweet new year and that you are observing the Jewish holidays. Now, we're in the middle of Sukkot with Simchas Torah coming next weekend. But there's another Jewish holiday we may be forgetting, because no one is sure if it is a Jewish holiday. Of course, I'm talking about Columbus Day. That's right. Columbus Day may just qualify as a Jewish holiday. And not only because all the stores mark everything 20% off. No, it's a proven theory that Columbus himself might have been a Jew. A secret Jew, perhaps, but a Jew, because his parents may have been forced to convert. Remember, these were the years of the Spanish Inquisition, which nobody expects because their chief weapon was surprise, or was it fear? Anyway, outwardly, of course, Columbus was of the Christian faith. But there is ample evidence to suggest that under different political circumstances, the Spanish explorer and Italian legend would instead have founded the first kibbutz. He would have founded it in Greenland, but that's another story. So forget the books and textbooks we've read about Columbus. Forget the poem that goes in 1400 and blah, blah, blah. I'm going to tell you the real story, the true Columbus epic. It's a little poem that I call Good Boy Columbus. And if you're still convinced after hearing it that Columbus was a shagitz, well, you probably put mayonnaise on pastrami. So, for the rest of you, sit back, relax, put your feet up, pay attention, goddammit! Here's the real story, the Jewish story of Columbus and his journey through life and around the globe. In 1491, Spain told the Jews, get ready to run. You're gonna get killed, you're gonna get hurt. If you wanna stay here, you gotta convert. The Inquisition was in full blossom, so all the Hebrews were playing possum. With guns at their heads and knives at their chest, they crossed themselves and hoped for the best. While martyrs' mothers cried and grieved, they made believe that they believed. They accepted Christ and the title Converso, but underneath, Jews were Jews and vice versa. Cause when you're at the mercy of a Torquemada, a life lived in secret is better than nada. And yet, the government still feared conspiracy. They sent out tribunals to flush out heresy. They tortured and burned every man, girl, and boy who once was a Jew, but then turned to goy. The non-converted Jews, though, still under suspicion, were not so affected by the Inquisition. That is, until the following year, when Spain's true colors were made quite clear by King Ferdinand, a miserable fella, and his bitch of a wife, Queen Isabella. In 1492-ish, Spain expelled everyone who was Jewish. 150,000 left Spain and never touched a flan again. By the middle of summer, all the Jews had vanished. They turned Portuguese, where once they were Spanish. And yet, the day after the Hebrews were gone, who should show up but Chris Colon? That's a Jewish variation on his real name, Colombo, and the clues that he's Jewish are truly jumbo. First of all, the dates he used. All biblical references used by the Jews. Second of all, the day he left was the 9th of Av, on which Jews are bereft. You want more proof? Well, here it gets better. At the top of his mail, he'd write two little letters. The Hebrew letters, Bet and Hey. With the help of God, is what they say. But some are not convinced by this. After all, why would a landsman be named Chris? Perhaps his parents were converted Marranos, putting borscht and chopped liver in their mole poblanos. I realize that's Mexico and not Mallorca, but what do you expect for free, Lorca? Anywho, Columbus, the convert, didn't get frantic. He asked for three ships to cross the Atlantic. Said Queen Isabella, from her place in the palace, go find the new world, with Spain over Alice. And so he embarked in a fine Spanish galleon, which makes you wonder why Columbus Day is Italian. And what about all of Columbus's crew? Since they were expelled, they were likely Jews too. They sailed out of Lisbon, singing Dayenu, on the Nina, the Pinta, and the Moshe Rabbeinu. In October, they landed on a place cold and windy. Said wrong way Columbus, this must be the Indies. Naked savages came out to greet them. Columbus's crew thought the Indians would eat them. But Christopher said, look at the riches they've got. We'll make them love Jesus, whether they like it or not. For the country of Spain, he claimed this new world. And the Indians cried, because they knew it'd be spurled. And they went out slaves with Columbus the master. He founded a colony, a total disaster. So after a while, Chris gathered new ships. And over the years, he made 3 more trips. He couldn't find India, he couldn't find China, he couldn't find hairs on a woman's vagina. Nevertheless, Columbus made history by making the new world less of a mystery. In 1506, old Chris passed away. He was nearly forgotten, the history books say. But now we revere him for never quitting, despite omnipresent anti-Semiting. But he persevered through courage and prayer to discover America, which was already there. So go shop at White Sales, watch the parade, or look at the mess of this country we've made. But kindly remember, be you left, right, or middle, that the man who made it happen was without doubt a Yiddle. Well, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, I hope you learned a lot from my little ode. And whatever you think about Christopher Columbus or Columbus Day, you will reflect a little on what it means to be an American, and what it cost us, and the people we stole America from, to have what we have now. I also hope that if you're Jewish, you're celebrating the fine holiday of Sukkot. It's a holiday of harvesting and feasting and commemorating the years of Exodus after the Jews left Egypt. It's a time of celebration, culminating in Simchas Torah, where we finish reading the 5 books of Moses, and then, at that very moment, start reading them all over again from the beginning. And you wonder why Jews are irritating. But you know, it's a happy holiday, so I'm going to leave you with one more little poem. Kind of a limerick for the festival holidays. I hope you like it. Here it goes. In order to brighten his sukkahs, Reb Mendelssohn hired 3 hookers. They pulled on his pace, and sat on his face, and jammed an etrog in his tuchus. Thank you very much. Well, I see by the twanging of the digital scroll that it's time for the rabbi to make like a lulav and wave goodbye. I wish you all, Jews and non-Jews, a happy and healthy autumn, a fine and productive week. On behalf of myself, my dear wife Miriam Libby, and our children, Nehemia, Josiah, Shloimi, Chana, Rivki, Yehuda, Moish, Yecheskel, Boruch, Avigdor, Yisroel, Hepzibah, Shol, Aliza, Shimon, Gedalia, Naftuli, and Fred, by my first marriage, and one more on the way, this is Rabbi Saul Solomon saying, Shalom Uvracha, from every one of me to every one of you.
Hear this? This is the Admiral speaking. I know the going has been rough, but if we can just hold out a little while... Stop that rumbling down there.
Rumble. Who could blame him? The whole thing is madness. I don't like the way the crew is acting.
Well, you're overplaying a little bit yourself there.
I tell you, the world is flat, and that's that.
It's round as your hat.
It's flat as your head.
It's round.
It's flat.
It's a round, round world. It's a round, round world. I contend it's round and it's going to be found when all the results are in. It's a round world now and it's always been.
Flat, flat world. It's a flat, flat world. I insist it's flat as a welcoming mat and he's sailing off the end. How about our crazy Australian
friend? Get hip. Would I climb aboard this ship? If I didn't have odds, the earth was highly spherical.
It's a miracle if it
is. Square, square king. You're a square, square king. If you don't believe, you're gonna receive the shock of your royal life. When the ship pulls in at Miami.
Yo, ho, ho, and a Dramamine. We are loyal subjects of the king and queen. But what kind of nut would you have to be to borrow a ship and put out to sea when you don't know what's on the other side?
Got a hard pack fun, brother. Who said getting there was half the fun? Give up my throne for one ABP. No wonder I'm turning. 3 shades of green. How could I go? I'm such a lonely,
crazy kind of ski. Get a cockamamie dream.
Would the climb aboard this ship? If I didn't have odds, the earth was highly spherical.
It's a miracle if it
is. You're so cold to the wind and rain. You're the tycoon's coming up with first John Wayne.
I feel like a red witch having a wake. How much of the ocean fit do you think I can take?
Command in the name of.
Claim that land in the name of.
Isabella and Ferdinand.
That's Ferdinand and Isabella.
New rulers of this round, round.
It's a crazy kind of scheme, it's a cockamamie dream. But we hope it's a round, round world.
well, for all our sakes, I hope. What was that?
French horns.
No, no, I mean before that.
Oh, it was the lookout. He sighted land.
Hooray!
Quickly, hand me the glass.
All right.
Now, the other one.
Oh.
To the new world.
Likewise. Right, go ahead. Give the kid top billing.
Well, it was just a thought.
No, go ahead.
All right. I claim this land in the name of Queen Isabella and King Ferdinand of Spain.
Ho!
Well, first I stick the flag in the sand, and then I...
Watch yourself, Admiral. Natives. They may be hostile.
Well, we're all a little hostile now and then. Some of us are able to sublimate. Others can't adjust. You know how it is.
I know, but you better try and talk to them.
All right. Hello there. We white men, other side of ocean. My name, Christopher Columbus.
Oh, you over here on a Fulbright?
Huh? No, I'm over here on an Isabella, as a matter of fact. Which reminds me, I want to take a few of you guys back with me in the boat to prove I discovered you.
What do you mean, discover us? We discover you.
You discovered us?
Certainly. We discover you on beach here, is all how you look at it.
Yeah, I never thought of that. Well, at any rate, my men and I were wondering if you could spare a little food.
What kind num-nums you want?
Well, what is that strange-looking plant you're holding there, with little yellow kernels?
You mean this?
Yes. What is that?
French horns.
No. What you're holding in your hand.
Oh, corn.
That's what I thought it was. What else you got to eat around here?
Oh, berries, herbs, natural fruits, and organically grown vegetables.
Just as I suspected. What kind of a diet is that? That's why I've come here. To fulfill my dream.
You have a dream?
Yes, I do.
Would you like to talk about it?
I certainly would. My dream is to open the first Italian restaurant in your country. Give you some real food. Starches, spaghetti, cholesterol, all the better things. That's called progress, you see? Now, right here would be a good location for the restaurant. Ocean view and all that. Is there room for a parking lot?
You kidding? Whole country is parking lot.
I suppose. Well, I'd like to put a little deposit down on the property here.
Okay.
I only have a few doubloons on me, so if you'll direct me to the nearest bank, I'll get a check cash.
You out of luck today. Bank's closed.
Oh? Why?
Columbus Day.
Oh, yeah. We going out on that joke?
No, we do reprise of song. That help.
But not much.
Not much, no.
Yo, ho, ho, and a buckskin sleeve. Now the white man's here, I guess it's time to leave. I go to war and fight like a shirt. Perhaps we can pick up some kind of work in an Indian extravaganza. Why, herb or bonanza?
Please don't call us, we'll call you.
Step aside, pal, meet a new.
The cheeses of this round world.
I hope you're enjoying this episode of Dave's Gone By, but maybe you're not. Maybe you're thinking, this episode is alright, but the one from last week, oh boy, or the Christmas show, or the Australian one, or the... My God, what a feast of entertainment I have given you. But it's all over so fast. You hear it once on the radio and it's gone by. But not anymore. I've got the archives, baby, and I'm going to share them. Almost every single episode of Dave's Gone By is now available on audio cassette. Relive the golden moments of The Giving Chimp, The Enema Blues, Steve the Whistler, Seamus the Urine Man, and so much more. If you don't remember which segment aired when, just check the archive page of our website, hometown.aol.com/Dave's Gone By. Cassettes are just $10 each, and if you buy two or more, only $9 each. To order, just pick the air date you want and call 516-295-1511 or email davesgoneby@aol.com. That's 516-295-1511, or email davesgoneby@aol.com. Hours of music, talk radio, and comedy, only $10 a tape, shipping included. So call 516-295-1511 and get classic episodes of Dave's Gone By because you can. Welcome back to Dave's Gone By on AM 1240 WGBB Freeport. Time for the news gone by, a look at events of the past week from a combustible and a columbustible perspective. We start with local news. Police in Queens arrested a former high school principal and priest. They charged him with aggravated harassment for making obscene and racist phone calls to the new principal at his old Catholic high school. When police entered the home of Reverend John Johnston, he answered the door in a kimono. He also had an unlicensed handgun, gay porn, and $87,000 in cash sitting on top of the dresser, cash stolen from the collection boxes of a church in Bethpage. Not only that, he also had a stash of Nazi memorabilia. Asked why a priest would have a gun, smut, and Hitler souvenirs, Reverend Johnston told the cops he didn't actually live there. He was just house-sitting for Arnold Schwarzenegger till the election was over. But seriously, Newsday reports that for 20 years, Johnston held Sunday Mass at an affluent Bethpage Cathedral. A spokeswoman for the Diocese of Rockville Center told Newsday, quote, "Diocese officials are opening an internal investigation into Father Johnston." She also said that all the other Long Island priests are shocked and dismayed and are having a very difficult time dividing up Johnston's porn. On the political front, Run-DMC rapper Joseph Simmons, Def Jam Records founder Russell Simmons, and World Wrestling chairman Vince McMahon announced the formation of a campaign to register more young voters. The group hopes to encourage more civic and political participation among people 18 to 30. The bad news is that the rappers and wrestlers' campaign is being called Smack Down Your Vote, which is just what Florida Governor Jeb Bush is planning to do anyway. In science news, yet further confirmation that humans and apes aren't far apart on the evolutionary scale. In a study at Emory University, monkeys were trained to trade a piece of granite for a piece of cucumber. Now, when all the monkeys did this together, the same way, it worked 95% of the time. However, when one monkey was given, instead of a pickle, a tastier grape, the other monkey pitched a fit, throwing the granite or refusing to eat the cucumber. Now, scientists see this as proof that monkeys have a sense of fairness and cooperation. They also say it's still too early to draw comparisons to human behavior, but I see the connection as pretty obvious. For example, when Ben Affleck gets paid $2 million to make a crappy movie, audiences making $30,000 a year feel justified in throwing their popcorn at the screen. Now, another scientific study, this one by Cancer Research United Kingdom, they found that children's reluctance to try new foods may be more than just brattiness. Toxins in plants thousands of years ago were likely to harm youngins, so kids developed an evolutionary trait, the defense mechanism of refusing to eat something they didn't know. Trying to disprove this theory are other scientists, candy makers, Catholic priests, and lots of guys in shabby raincoats. Also on the science front, researchers in New York and Paris have looked at astronomical data and determined that the universe is actually finite. Rather than helter-skelter pieces left over from the Big Bang, the universe is made up of a series of curved pentagons joined together in a round shape, very much like a soccer ball. Extrapolating from this, clergymen now say that what we know as God is actually a loving but stern, occasionally schizophrenic soccer mom. The good news is that guys say the universe's mom is pretty hot. And speaking of astronomy, Sagittarius, the galaxy next to ours, is being cannibalized by our own Milky Way. As Sagittarius passes through our galaxy, it's getting stretched, torn apart, and, in a way, eaten. Scientists say the Milky Way sucks in the other galaxy's debris much the way we slurp up strands of spaghetti. It's an act of galaxy cannibalism, with the Milky Way really a bully, encroaching on the neighbor, using up all his natural resources, and leaving him to dwindle and dissolve into nothing. The most puzzling part is, how did the Milky Way learn to so closely follow George Bush's policy for national forests? More wonders of the world. Scientists studying ancient rocks in Scotland have discovered the world's oldest genitals. They belong to a fossilized daddy long-legged spider from 400 million years ago. According to ABC News, its penis was two-thirds the length of its body, and remarkably similar to the modern-day species. Before this find, the previous oldest penis was only 100 million years old and belonged to a crab-like crustacean. A couple of years ago, scientists uncovered female genitalia that looked to be a billion years old, but then Madonna pulled her skirt down and walked away. And speaking of homely, some wonderful, wonderful happy news. Welcome back to the Almaki. Yes, the insect-eating mammal, the Almaki. They found one in Cuba. Before that, they were thought to be extinct. Only 37 have been spotted since the Almaki was discovered in 1861, the last one in 1999. Ugly fella. He measures about a foot and a half, has a long, hairy snout with a pink tip on the end, and it looks kind of like a badger slash aardvark slash rat. This one was studied and released back into the wild where one hopes he will find a female Almaki, or at the very least, a compassionate lady squirrel who'll give him a pity breed. Finally, in health news, let's hear it for the Center for Disease Control. They've come up with a flu vaccine that isn't a hypodermic syringe. At last, after all these years, they've invented a way to give you a shot without the shot. It's basically a very strong nasal spray called Flu Mist. Now, so far, they're only doing this with flu vaccines, and they need to do more testing on infants and people over 50. But assuming this works out, nevophobes like myself are going to be a lot less hinky about visiting the doctor. One ouchless spritz, and you're good to go for the season. More pleased by the invention are women. After all, for once, they can get the squirt they need without the annoying prick. And that's the news gone by for October 13th, 2003. Please send your comments, opinions, and Almaki traps to Dave's Gone By, P.O. Box 62, Hewlett, New York, 11557-0062. That's the address for all snail mail to the program. Letters, checks, advertising queries, vicious tirades, send them to Box 62, Hewlett, New York, 11557-0062. We reserve the right to read your letters on the air, name withheld upon request, and if your computer can't get our audio stream, let us know if you've come across a story you think would be a good News Gone By dream. Let us know. And if you have contacts at other radio stations with a syndication team, definitely let us know. So please, keep in touch. Dave's Gone By at AOL.com. You can also leave a message at 516-295-1511 or check our website, hometown.aol.com/Dave's Gone By for more information. Do give the website a look. We updated it recently with new photos. We've got pictures of the washlet on there, new information. It's really cool. hometown.aol.com/Dave's Gone By. And please, keep in touch. Let me know you're there. Telephone, snail mail, email. I look forward to getting your stuff, but please, no fossilized genitalia. That's too hard a nut to crack. Back after this.
Yeah.
That song, that sound, is the sound of October Project, a group that has really attained legendary status on the basis of just two albums. I call them probably the best unknown band of the 1990s, only they really weren't unknown. They sold a couple of 100,000 discs for Epic Records, but, well, do I even need to say what record companies do to musical groups, and what musical groups do internally when they're under too much pressure? But for all that, October Project made two of the most glorious albums of lush pop music of all time, and I am not exaggerating. They were always one of those bands where you hear a song on college radio or in a record store, realize it was so different and so haunting, and you get the album, and then you immediately want to buy 10 more copies as holiday gifts for friends. There's absolutely no reason why people like Dido or Annie Lennox or even ABBA should be multi-platinum, while October Project albums still feel like the world's best-kept secret, which could change for two reasons. One is that original lead singer Mary Fall released a really fine solo record a few months ago, and that's getting some media attention. I noticed it was the monthly automatic selection for the BMG Record Club in the last mailer. Mary Fall is not with a band anymore, but the other core members, Emil Adler, Julie Flanders, and Marina Balica, are working together again. They have an EP out and will soon be recording a full new album, which is all wonderful news, but the most important thing is that Emil, Julie, and Marina will be here in 2 weeks on this program. That's right, plan your schedules now. Monday, October 27th, 6:30 p.m. on Dave's Gone By, October Project, live in the studio at WGBB. It looks pretty definite, and I'm definitely excited. You should be too. October Project, visiting this program in 2 weeks, October 27th. Tell your friends, tell fans of the band around the country, and remember, if they can't get the signal, they can listen on the internet, AM 1240, WGBB.com. And next week, I'll be playing more of their stuff to really whet your appetite. Also next week, well, still figuring that one out, but I know it's going to be theater-oriented. I have a backlog of shows on and off Broadway to talk about and music to play, plus the news gone by, and who knows what else. You gotta tune in to find out. Now, I want to thank you all for tuning in this week. I hope you enjoyed saying Hello Columbus on this holiday evening. Lots of people to thank. Thank you, Lenora Campos, for giving us the straight poop about the washlet. For more information, go to washlet.com. It's a new sensation in evacuation. Thanks also to my guest, Rabbi Saul Solomon, wishing him a most happy Sukkot and Simchat Torah to all of you as well. A big thank you to our brand new sponsor, the Tandoor Grill. Really nice place. I've tried their chicken tikka. They make delicious mulligatawny soup, and their breads are good too. I'm not just saying that because they're advertising. It was a good meal. And they're on Sunrise Highway in Rockville Center, across from the rail. Tandoor Grill. There's no I on the end. It's not Tandoori Grill. Tandoor Grill, 222 Sunrise. Check TandoorGrill.com for the menu. And if you go, do tell the owners you heard about the restaurant on Dave's Gone By. More thank yous. Thank you, Engineer Dennis, for all your help and your patient instruction. Dig his show, Off the Top Hip Hop, midnight Saturday to 6 a.m. Sundays. Thank you, Engineer Joe Salzone, for running this show with your usual perfect aplomb. Listen to Joe's political talk program, Your World, with Joe Salzone, Sunday nights at 6. He also takes the mic Sunday nights at 11 for a more free-form show. And Monday nights, he usually takes the half hour before my show, 6 to 6:30, so catch him then. Big thank you to my wife, Joyce, as always. She was tremendously helpful to this week's episode, for which I'm tremendously grateful. And grateful to all of you for tuning in, for giving me your feedback. Dave's Gone By at AOL.com, for checking my website, hometown.aol.com/Dave's Gone By. I've got pictures of the washlet on it, plus other cool stuff. Give it a surf. hometown.aol.com/Dave's Gone By. If you forget the URL, just Google search Dave's Gone By, and you'll find us quick. Actually, we have a minute or two left for a final Columbus Day tribute. There's a website for the Deep Creek Elementary School in Georgetown, South Carolina. And the kids obviously had an assignment to come up with a short biography of Columbus, like, you know, three lines. And I'm not big on the art link letter, children write the funniest things stuff, but a couple are pretty neat. This is from Timothy. Christopher Columbus sailed the ocean blue. They sailed from Spain to find the Indies. They thought it was the Indies, but it was not. It was the Bahamas, and it was hot. But at least they found land. This one is from Donovan. It's very spare. It's almost like a haiku. Columbus had three ships. He wanted to sail west. Queen Isabel was proud of Columbus. Columbus sailed in wind and rain. Little Hunter writes, Christopher Columbus sailed around the world. He left Spain and took a voyage to look for the Indies. He found America in 1492. I like that. Found America, which is exactly the right term, not founded or discovered, as a lot of the other kids had. But here's my favorite, courtesy of Trevant, who writes, Christopher Columbus lived in Spain with three ships. Kind of kinky. The names were Nina, Pinta, and the Santa Maria. Columbus sailed in rain and wind. He sailed in the deep sea. He died years ago. Years ago. Hardly any of the old gang is still around anymore. But we're around and we'll be around next week. So next week, lots of theater and comedy and music. Monday night, October 20th, 6:30 p.m. Until then, don't miss your days going by. This is Dave Lefkowitz. Good night. Goodbye, Columbus. And gone by.